Welcome to How to Freizeitpark Abroad. My name is Stefan Burian. I'm a freelancing consultant for three very, for me, very important topics, which is operations, HR, and guest experience. And I do support leisure attractions of any kind and size. And today we are talking about one attraction which is really blowing my mind, because it seems to be like a really classical site, like a heritage, but really just a few people know about this attraction. And I'm speaking about a small park near the Dutch German border, which is called De Waabeek in Hengelo in the Netherlands. And this small park is like, it's really hard to describe. And before I really getting confusing here with my descriptions, I would say that we just hop right into the interview. And I have a special guest today. He's called Michael, and he's the creative director for just a couple of years for both the Waabeek theme park or amusement park and Draunersand, which is also a Dutch theme park, which might not be that well known. But I have to admit, the whole interview is very, very charming. He's a very charming person. But the history of the park itself and what they are doing there right now is so crazy that I can just recommend, if you are in the western part of Germany or even in the Netherlands, you should put the Waabeek on your to-do list. So here we go. Here's the interview with Michael from the Waabeek. Enjoy. This whole podcast is, of course, about all the attractions we have, all the great experiences we create, and also about all those interesting people we have within our industry. And today we have somebody on our show who I briefly met, and he really welcomed me with open arms. I don't know if you can still remember our little meetup, Michael, a couple of years ago. It was just we bumped into each other. And then we start to connect, and it's all about one specific park. But I then realized, after doing some research on you, that there's loads of things we need to talk about. So today on my show is Michael Rüttgers. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hoe gaat het met jou?
Oh ja, je kunt ook nog een beetje Nederlands, dat is fijn. Het gaat goed. Druk.
Ik spreek een beetje Nederlands, maar ik woon naast de Dutch border. So it's easy to pick up some pieces here then. But Michael, it's so lovely to have you here on the show. For those people who have never heard of your name, please just introduce to yourself. Why are you in this industry, and what are you doing?
Oh, that's a big question already. But my name is Michael. I'm 39 years old. I live in Hengelo, Netherlands. I currently work as a creative director for two parks. We own the Waabeek in Hengelo and Draunersand in Drouwen. Why do I work in this industry? It started many, many years ago. When I was like 15 years old, I started working in a theme park, the Waabeek, and just as a ride operator back then. And I had so much fun here that it all, had further off from that. I worked in a lot of theme parks. I did a lot of things, but it all started right here. So like, I think it's like 10, 15 years ago, I got back here, and then it was like I had a lot of more experience. And it's great to work in a park like this, because it's small, but it's big enough to do crazy stuff. And we can do a lot of things here together. We have I'm very close with the owner, so we do a lot of things just on the spot, where a lot of things are going last minute, a lot of things which we want to do, we can do right away. Of course, we have to think about budgets and stuff, but it's really great that we can really make the difference here.
And you really do, and I think we need to explain to my audience what the Warbeck is, because for us fans, of course, it's well known for one of the oldest steel roller coasters there is, the Rodelbahn, which is now rethemed to a safari theme. But can you just briefly explain what is the Warbeck and what does it make so special?
Yeah, the Warbeck, last year we celebrated our 100th anniversary, so we're already working with the gemeente here. So we think we're going to be Koninklijk, we call it here. So that's really cool. And the thing is, there's a lot of history here. So the Warbeck is basically for kids in like 2 to, we say 12 years, which maybe that's a little bit too old at this moment. We have a lot of small rides. We have a lot of last couple of years, we did a lot of theming and we put a lot of new rides into the park. So we are going more at the, in the yeah guest experience. So we do a lot of more storytelling. We do a lot of more things, but it's a park with history. So everybody in the area knows the Warbeek, has worked there, has lived there, has celebrated their anniversaries here. So there's a lot of history. And that's really cool. And we have a lot of cool rides, which, like the Rodelbahn, it's almost 100 years old. And we say it's the oldest roller coaster from the Benelux. But if you really look at the steel, so if you tell it the right way, it can possibly be the oldest of the world because the steel we used to make that roller coaster is from an old train track between
Oh.
Hengelo and Boekelo. So if you really look at the steel construction, it's probably the oldest in the world.
Incredible. I mean, where can you have so much theme park history in one place?
Yeah, it is, and it's really cool because a lot of fans and of course people in the area come for the Rodelbahn and they still enjoy it at this moment. So it's really it's still a fun ride. It's not like it's old, so it's bumpy. It's really cool. It's still a good ride.
It is, and I can still remember the times where they didn't have even lap bars on the cars, so you just had to hang on really tight during the ride. But now it's a little bit more advanced, a little bit more focused on the guest experience, as you mentioned. But that's what I think is also very incredible when I look at the Warbeck and when I try to compare it with other theme parks. It's the overall experience is completely different. Especially when you look at the offerings. Why is the Warbeck so focused on having like packages regarding the all you can eat offering, for example?
Yeah, it was like a couple of years ago when Kevin and Jana came into the park, and they wanted to try the all-inclusive formula because they already had it in Trouwen. That's from the dad of Jana. So the parents already own the theme park, and the first year they didn't do it, but the second year we were thinking about, we needed to make the Warbeek a little bit special because the back then the owner before Kevin and Jana did a lot of things in marketing and stuff to get people into the parks, but didn't really keep the attractions like well. It was all safe, it was all great, but it didn't look the part. So then we needed to do something quick to make the Warbeek special again, so to make people come there. And then we thought we put in the all-inclusive formula, and it's a really great price, of course. For like last year, it was 18.50, and all of the food and drinks were included, like the French fries, the snacks, the sandwiches, ice cream. Everything was in one package. So it's a good deal, and people really like it. Especially our guests here in the area, our German guests really love that all-inclusive formula. So that made the Warbeek a little bit more special again. And in the years after that, we could focus more on like storytelling into the rides, like with our haunted house, Huis het Pelle, with Dino World, that we could really focus on the rides. And the other rides, we could maintain them a little bit better. So put a new paint on it and things like that.
It's so incredible. Every time I look to the Netherlands, I'm really surprised how many exotic attractions there are. I was a couple of months ago for the very first time at Juliana Tore, and I was really amazed how incredible creative they get with that limited space, and the same applies to De Waabik as well. Why is, I mean, you have been within this industry for a couple of years now. I've seen also that you have been to other theme parks as well. Why do you think is the Netherlands so different to other countries in terms of leisure attractions?
Yeah, I think we want to be in. We want to be. We want to innovate. We want to do new things. I think it's the same thing with De Waabik. It really started, of course, 100 years ago, and everything around it got built. So we have limited space. That's the same with Julianatoren. I worked there for 7 years, I think. There was also a limited space. You couldn't go left, right, or into the forest. So you have to be really creative with what you can do. So small rides can have then a little bit more like theming, like storytelling into it. So you have to be more creative, I think. I don't know if that's really just in the Netherlands, because I saw a lot of other parks which I saw were also really creative with their space. But yeah, I think here it's like we want to innovate. We want to give people a new experience. We want to that's what I think we want to do in the Waalwijk every year, that people come here who have like they have some expectations what it's going to be like here, and we want to make it a plus one, so they go home and think, oh, that was even more great than I thought it was going to be. And that's what we really want to do, and I think a lot of theme parks in the Netherlands want that.
Yeah, that's what I is matching my experience or my thoughts about that. I do believe that, yeah, there are other European parks or countries innovative as well, but I think that Dutch attractions are a little bit more brave, if that makes sense. Because when I compare especially the museum industry in Germany versus the Netherlands, that is a complete different universe. It's like in Germany, you go into a museum, you have loads of text and boring displays, a little bit of theming now and then today, but it's still not an experience. And then I compare to the Spoorweg Museum in Utrecht, which is just blowing my mind every time I'm there, or the Buddy Museum. I forgot how it's called in Den Haag.
I know what you mean. Corpus.
Yeah, Corpus, exactly, or the Discovery Museum in Kerkrade. There's so many complete different things that are been done in the Netherlands and in Germany. They are very straightforward and just focus it. Yeah, it has to be a museum. It needs to be educational, but it can't be fun. So they really rip the fun out of it.
Yeah, here it's fun. I think most of the museums here in the Netherlands are more like a theme park than but that's
Yeah.
good, because I think when also like schools and things go to that kind of museums, when learning is kind of fun, it makes it a little bit better, right?
Exactly, yes. I think you will remember more at the end of the day if you had fun. But talking about fun, you have lots of fun as well when I see your history, what you have done. And you talked about that you have been working with Julianatore as well. You did a lot of entertainment stuff. You worked for Disneyland Paris as well. Amazing. If I may ask, what did you do at Disneyland Paris?
Yeah, that's a funny story, because when I started this business, it's like many years ago, I worked at De Waabik, but after that I wanted to try something new. I wanted to try something fun. So with some of our colleagues, we went to a workshop for like making balloons and stuff. And everybody hated it, but I really liked it. And so I went to do some like balloon stuff in our restaurant. I worked at that time in a pancake house, and we did some entertainment there. So I did some balloons, and I really hated it when the kids asked me like, I want a dog, I could make it. I want a sword, I could make it. But if they wanted something else, I hated it that I couldn't make it. So I really made a lot of stuff like that. So I went to a lot of workshops, tried a lot of stuff myself, tried to be creative. So I got to a point where I could make anything. So if they came to me and wanted a toilet from balloons, I could make it. So everything was possible. So I really liked that. Then there came a time when some friends of mine who own a balloon shop, they taught me some magic tricks to do at the shows. And from there on, I did the magic shows. From there on, I went to some theme parks like Julianatore, where I did a magic show for a couple of years with Jules de Muis. So it was like a theme park show, but of course, there was a lot of magic in it. And from there on, I did a lot of balloon stuff. So I know that at one time I was making like for Mercedes, I was like making cars from balloons, so like giant cars. And people could sit inside it, and there was some guy making photos of it, and people got their photos. And I was like, I can do it myself. I can make some kind of arrangements that I can do the photos myself. So I'm more portable. I don't have to wait for someone to take the pictures. So I started like a photo booth. And the balloon cars were really great, but it was a lot of work. We worked like 2 days for one balloon car. So then I got to the point where I thought I was making only the front of the car in front of a green screen. People could sit in that car, and in the green screen, we would put them onto a road in the balloon car, and that picture they got to take home. And from there on, I owned the green screen photo booth. So there was a cinema here in the Netherlands who hired me to do a green screen at their theater. And there was like the premiere of, I thought it was Cars. And so I made people into the frame, into the artwork of Cars, and that's where I meet the people from Disney, the Netherlands. Or Disney Europe, it was at the time, I think. I don't know what they called it again. But they said, oh, it would be great to have it into the park. So I went like a casting in Berlin, I think it was. And there we made some arrangements that I would still work as because they wanted me to have there to work there all the time. So just do regular work, and then when there are events that I could do there, balloons, I make large sculptures of Mickey Mouse and all that kind of things like that. And the thing was, I didn't want to be there full time because I loved my job, but I didn't want to do just some basic stuff there. So we made an arrangement. It was like a talent pool. We were with, I thought it was 12 people, and we used to get the emails from them saying, we have an event on that and that date. We want some balloon artists to make balloons or a magician. And then we can, it was a lot of times in Newport Bay in the Congress area. So they hired us to do their balloons and stuff like that. So that was really fun, but it's also, like I said to you before, I really like to have a lot of, I like to do a lot of things. I like to have a lot of fun. And back there, it used to be in the beginning, it was all fun, but then you get used to it, and it's like all it's a basic performance. So you get there, you get your clothing, you do your show, and you go back home. And sometimes I wasn't there for a couple of months, so there were a lot of new colleagues. It was all like new. And back then I thought, okay, I did it a couple of years, and then it was better to move on. And then I got back to the Waarbeek. I think it was right after that.
And then you became part of the entertainment and marketing department at De Waarbeek. And how does that feel? I mean, you've been creative, you have been on stage, you did shows, performances, your balloon acts, and now you are. And I don't want to mean it in a rude way, but you stuck in a small park before you went to Disney, to big things, your own stuff, but now you are like part of a corporation. How did that went for you?
Yeah, that's I can see what you mean, but it's great because back in the other parks, the bigger parks, you were like a number doing their act and that's it. Here at the Waarbeek, when I got back here, it's just like here we can really make a difference. Here we can do a lot of things ourselves. So I still do a magic show here. So when you're here in the holidays, you can still see me here on stage. But I also got the opportunity here to do a lot of other things. So like the making the guest experience a lot better, doing our entertainment acts in the park. We have a lot of events here which we can do. Everything new, like our new rides, I get to develop that together with the owners. So that's really cool. So for me, it's a lot better, but I can see what you mean. A lot of people have like a thing, they want to work for Disney, they want to work
yeah.
for them. But I did it, and I can tell you it's fun, it's a lot of fun. But when you got back to the smaller parks where you can really make the difference, where you can really fastly change stuff. So when I here have an idea, I don't have to wait and put it to all kinds of people to get it done. Here we can just do it, and yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I totally appreciate it that you said that, because I do believe as well that you have lots more fun in a smaller attraction when you have like a smaller organization you work with. I mean, of course you have your challenges as well, like space and budget, but if you are just a number in a big corporation, what's the point? You don't see an immediate outcome in your work, and I would say you have that big opportunity that you can see immediately how people react to what you had in your mind, like with your I would say the first themed attraction or bigger attraction, that was the haunted house. For and then this is a point where you need to educate me on something. Why does the postman has a haunted house? I didn't get the story.
Yeah, the thing is, the postman, the postboy Pelle, used to do the park shows here, and we wanted to go up to put him more into the park. So the first ride we made, we wanted to do a haunted house, but we didn't want to do a haunted house the regular way and just buy one. And we didn't have the budget on the time. At least we thought we didn't have the budget on the time, because that was we didn't see the results of our season before that. So we were like, we have to be really careful with the money. So that's why we bought a small ride from a carnival ride, which just got around. So we made the track ourselves. We made it a little bit bigger. And then we also did the theming ourselves, because it all started with the idea of just putting it through one container. We just wanted to put down a container where it went through, and we did something there, and that's it. And then it got off from there. So we got in touch with Petro Arts, and they made our facade for the haunted house. And from there, we developed it more. So it was like, we were thinking, okay, we put down two containers where it's true. And then we were like, yeah, then we can better close it all the way. So that's the way it started. And then we were thinking about, we wanted to do something with our haunted house that is not just a haunted house, but that it has some connections with the Waarbeek and the storyline we're telling here with Trekkie and Postbode de Pelle. So the story there is that you go into the house of the great, 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 great grandfather of Postbode de Pelle. And there you just go through the house, and it's like a little bit haunted. It's weird stuff. And then you come through a cabinet of books. You go through there, and then you come into the, it's like a secret area from that great grandfather where he did experience. But one of the experience went wrong, and he got missing. And that's like, he still has there like a time machine, and the guests can try out that machine. So Postbode de Pelle says like, I don't think you should do that, but if you really want to, get in and we'll see what happens. And then they make a trip through time. Yeah.
It's, I didn't had any expectations, to be honest, as I went in there. I was surprised how much innovation, how much a small idea can make a huge difference. So how did you end up from, I mean, you said in the first idea it was just a container and a small dark ride section. Now you have a complete indoor section with a show, with settings, with scenes. How did you come up with those ideas? Was it just in part of the process, or did you notice on some point, oh, we can do more because of dot dot dot?
Yeah, it was kind of like a process what we were doing. We were building it, and as we were building it, well, we're building it ourselves, right? We have like a small a team here of people who can make stuff, and a lot of things are done by ourselves. So, like you, when you enter the machine room, for example, Kevin made it himself. So our owner in his garage, so on his spare time, he was just building like a wooden cabinet where all things like popped up. And we have Theo, our technical head of technical services. He was like he used to own. That's the father of Kevin. He used to own like a technical shop. So he can make everything. So also in like our theater, we don't have a sound man or someone who does our light and stuff. So everything happens just with buttons. So Theo made like 50 buttons in my decor. So everything is with like a button. When I go through a door, I push a button and the light comes from there to there. And that's also what we did in Huizenpelle. It was just an idea. I thought we were taking them into a time machine, and then I said, yeah, but people are not going to get that. So we need to explain it to them. So that's why we made like a first pre-show. And then I thought, yeah, but that's really quick. We have to be quick because the lines got really long. So we made that line. So we made the pre-show a little bit shorter. And then we made like a soundscape in the waiting area where there was like Paspoort Pelle saying, what are you guys doing here? And also explaining a little bit of the story. And yeah, that's. And that's at the same time we thought people are standing there a long time, so what can we do to entertain them? So then we built an old television and we made some old commercials with people living here in the area or people working here. So we made fun of our other theme park in those commercials. So it all got more of an experience in time. So a lot of things were added. After that, when we were riding the ride ourselves, we were thinking, oh, that's a part which is not that's it's not really getting the whole feeling. So then we put something extra in it. So we order some special effects or we make something ourselves. So yeah, it's all part of a process. It wasn't like we were thinking, this is what we want to do.
And if we go a little bit further into the past, why did you decide to implement a storyline into the park in the first place?
Yeah, that was because what I told before that we made it. We needed to make the Waalwijk special again because in history it was a really great park. People loved it. Everybody came here, and then there were a few years where there was a lack of people coming just because. Everything got a little bit more old. So people were like, oh, the Waalwijk, no, that's just some old stuff, nothing special. What do we need to do there? So we needed to do something to make it more fun, but we didn't have the budget at that time to really paint everything, make everything new, get new rides. So we started to be really creative and yeah, just the experience itself. So we started adding stuff into the park. So like buttons where people could push the button and they would get wet. Or on our toilets, there's like music playing, and once in a while there's like a toilet joke or a Paspoort Pelle asking for toilet paper and stuff like that. So we really wanted to make everything more fun, and that's why we also did want to do a lot more storytelling and a lot more of really getting people into this world.
What I have experienced, I mean, the most of the minds have changed over the past years, but what I do often experience is that there are still some theme park operators or leisure attraction operators who don't care about storytelling. Why is storytelling so important? especially when you have like a smaller attraction, small budgets, so many limitations. Why is that so important to have?
When it is a small ride, and it's I wouldn't say nothing special, but when it is a small ride, but then storytelling and things like that can really make that experience for the guest a lot better. Like, for example, or we had an old train ride. It wasn't that popular anymore. It was just going a small round, nothing special. And we changed it into Dino World. So we made a big volcano which erupts every round. So with fire, with smoke. It's for the barbecue, it's a little too big, I think, but it's really cool that we can do it here. So a lot of dinosaurs and a lot of storytelling, and we put our colleagues into a dino-themed outfit. So we really want to make it more special for the guest. And the thing is, from a ride that's really old and wasn't that popular anymore, now it's one of the it has one of the longest queues in the park, in the backside of the park at this moment. So the kids really love to get into the story of the dinos, and we could have just put a dinosaur there and that's all, but I think that wouldn't make this experience like that special. And of course, we have to educate our staff and stuff like that, because a lot of them don't get it. They don't get why they need to put on some outfit, and they don't. But we have a lot of colleagues who really like it and really get into the story and take people, really into the dino world.
Yeah, that makes sense. And if there's somebody who says to you, well, storytelling, it's way too expensive for me, what would you reply?
That I get it. I get that sometimes it's too expensive, or maybe you can do it, or maybe you think you don't need it. I get that. For a couple of months ago, we went to Six Flags, and you see in those parks, it's just a giant roller coaster. It's really fun. It's really good, but not a lot of theming or a lot of storytelling. And then I think that's also great. We had a lot of fun there. But if you would have put a little effort into the story or into the, it would have been a lot better, I think. But maybe they don't need it. That's something I don't know. But what I thought was fun to see that they tried it a little bit. Some rides did have a little pre-show or a little, so they get the point that maybe it's in need of that. But I don't know. I don't. I think we need it in the parks, especially at this moment where we did. In our industry, we do a lot of stuff. We do a lot of innovative things. We make everything bigger, better, cooler. And I think we need it, because people want to be amazed. They want to see something new. And to do that, I think we can make something more bigger or more scarier. I think that's also cool. But I think there's way more to do in the point of storytelling and stuff like that.
I totally agree with you. It's not really sustainable in a point of economic view on that. As you mentioned, you visit a Six Flags theme park. When I think back to when it was Six Flags Holland, now Walibi, or again Walibi, it was always a great time, but it was never memorable. I was there, I had my fun. They tried some stuff. There was a sign with Superman on it. There was some Superman colored stuff around it. But yeah, that's basically it. And when I look at the transformation that Walibi is doing today, it's incredible from what kind of a, yeah, I wouldn't say lost place. I mean, there were visitors, so it was successful, but it was not like really attracting the right audience to it. And now they have more families in the park. It's more sustainable. People spend more time in the park and consume more, which is, I believe, also important when you implement storytelling. I mean, the consume part on your place is basically part of your business model if you have all inclusive
Yeah,
in a
but
theme
we also
park.
do that a little bit. We do that a little bit different, because we make sure that everything is included. So if you everything you want, you can get. But we have a lot of options. If you want, you can upgrade that experience. So for people who don't have a lot of money or don't want to spend that money, that's okay. You can just have a cool day here. You don't have to spend anything. But if you want to, we can also you can also buy more deluxe ice cream, or you can buy slush puppy, or the lemonade is included, but if you want Coca-Cola, you can buy it. So when we first started with that, I was like, I don't know if a lot of people are going to do that, but yeah, they do. So that's really fun to see. Like, also we do a lot of upsells with our shop. So at the end of the day, people have to go through our shop to go out, and we make sure we have something for the smaller budgets. For like 50 cents or a euro, you have something to take home, but also the bigger and more expensive stuff. So we do both. We make sure that for both of our, we have something to offer here. So.
So is this upselling strategy like part of your customer journey as well?
Yeah,
And
we also think about that when we implement something, and we also do a lot of stuff with that, with our all-inclusive formula inside of like the storytelling. So like when we have Halloween, we also make sure our lemonade is green. It's included, it's free, but we want to do something with that stuff. And we also make like mocktails to make it like more fun food, so people can buy it near Huizenpelle. We have like a crazy mocktails with like eyeballs and stuff like that, so they can buy it there if they want to do that, but they don't have to have to have a nice day here.
Yeah, I if I look at your product, so you have your theme park, you have the all-inclusive package. I really could go hard on it, and as an I don't know, owner of such a theme park, I would say I can go lazy right now, because there's the theme park, there's one price for everything, and that's it. So why put in the effort to enhance your guest experience with so small changes in your daily day-to-day business?
Yeah, the fun thing about that is because Kevin, Jana, me, myself, we're also really theme park enthusiasts. We really like theme parks. We really like the experience. So for us, it's like a game to make it every day a little bit better and to make sure they have an amazing day. And I know we can think like, okay, this formula works, but I also think that you have to be new. You have to be, so if people visit us once or twice, they should have, the next time they come, they should have something new. And I know for the last 5 years, we added rides every year and we did something. Maybe that's that's a little bit too much. I don't know how long we're going to do that, but I think we are. So, yeah.
But I think that as you mentioned already, that you are know where your construction sites are, and that you are revisiting some old places to make them new and fresh with your train ride, or as you mentioned before we started the recording, that you are opening a complete new attraction, which is like the very first new attraction from scratch for you as well, right?
Yeah, that's right. Because for the last couple of years, because of the formula, because people see the difference, we also make like a new entrance for the park and stuff like that. So people really see the difference. They really see that we're doing something new here. So people want to see it and want to be a part of it. And also the last couple of years, our reviews went like way better than before that. So we know we're doing something people like, and we can also see it in the number of guests at the Waarbeek. Every year it still goes up and up, and I think because of that is also the reason why we can also build like new rides now. So we were thinking about some rides, and we got to this ride. It's just like a tower that people go up. It's like a balloon ride, but then a little bit this is more like an airships theme, so we do it more steampunk like, and it's the first time we do a new ride here. And I say first time, that's of course not true, because many years ago they built like the Rodobaan and stuff like that, but in the last couple of years this is the first time we are really doing a new ride. And that's also because of our visitors who keep coming, and we get a lot of support from our community here, so people really like to come here. We also have like a Bliksem tarif, so people can come from 3 o'clock just for 2-3 hours. So the last couple of hours we're open for a discounted price, and that's more for the community. And we see a lot of people using that as well. So we know Yeah, it's still going better and better, and that's the reason why we can also build new rides now. So that's really cool.
It's so incredible to see the whole development of the Varwig. When I compare to my very first visit, which was roughly, I would say, over 10 years ago, and there was the park was there. It was okay. It was not bad, but it was there. And the last time I was there with my wife, I think that must be now 2 years or 3 years ago. We went to the Varwig. It was a complete change from my very first visit, with all the things you mentioned, the storytelling, the product itself, the guest experience, the whole look and feel of the Varwig has changed, especially also with the new entrance, which makes a huge impression when you stand before this huge tree stump and you walk to the entrance of it. So this is the start. Big question, where's the end?
Yeah, we don't know yet. It's getting a little bit more busy now that we have our second park, of course, Drevenzand. So there's a lot of things happening there as well at this moment. So for us, it's an opportunity to do a lot of things there. So for me, it's also a bit, now I wouldn't say a problem. Both of our parks need our attention to make it the same way as with the Waardbeek. But we know in
Sure.
Drevenzand we can this year really make a difference because there it was the same. It was it's newer, of course. It's so the rides are newer than at the Waardbeek. Everything feels a bit more clean. But they have nothing in storytelling, nothing in guest experience, like making it a little bit more extra. It was just like rides and fun, and it's good. So there we have a big opportunity to make it a lot better. So this year we're going to do also a dino theme there with their train, and we are going to do the old timers is going to get like a fairy tale theming. Of course, a new entrance there. It's going to be a big hunnebed. I don't know what's a hunnebed called in English, but and a new facade for our hotel there. There we also have a hotel, vacation park. So it also gives us a lot of more opportunities to do things. It's really fun to look at the things we can do together with both of the parks. So like the buying of stuff, so we can also make the all-inclusive a little bit better. But it also means that I have to split my time.
But twice the fun.
Twice the fun. That's for sure. Because it's a really fun. Have you ever been to Drevenzand?
I just looked it up and I have to say, no, I've never been there.
Okay, then you have to visit.
I have to, it's on my to-do list for this year. I just looked it up. A Hunebed is a chamber tomb, a prehistorical burial chamber. So is it more like a local history
There's local
themed?
history in the area there with Drevenzand. They have a lot of hunnebeds, so people come there to see the hunnebeds. So when they so we wanted to incorporate it in our entrance of Drevenzand.
Nice. That sounds interesting. And of course, the journey will never be finished. I hope. I mean, if you stay successful, of course you will go further and further. And I strongly believe that there will be more to come. But I want to know from you, because you have your own experience now. You've made your step from working as a ride operator up to now being a creative director within now two theme parks or amusement parks in the Netherlands. What would you suggest, or what kind of advice would you give to young professionals or people who want to work in this industry?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to do is to just have fun and make sure the product you deliver or the thing you want to do to really put your best effort in it. And I think it will work then because it was never my choice when I grew up. It was never like, oh, I want to be a balloon artist or I want to be a creative director in a theme park. It just got that way because I did something I like. And when I look at the moment now and also the past like 20 years, might sound funny, but I never had to work like a day in my life. And I know a lot of people say that, but I really feel that. There's never a day when I think, oh, I have to go to work. It's every day. It's fun to do what we do because we make cool experience for our guests. We have a lot of fun with our colleagues, and if we don't, we have to make it better, and we have to upgrade that experience. That's also something I saw the last couple of years with our staff, that there were a lot of people who were just working here because they needed a job. And we don't want people like that here. We want people here who are really into the theme parks, into our guest experience, into the whole Waabeek feel. And I think when you do what you like, then yeah, it will come. It will find its way. And maybe it's not the way that's now in your head, because what I said, it was also in my head, like, oh, one day I want to work for Disney. Well, I did. It was fun, but I'm having more fun now. And so I think you just have to do what you think is good, and then it will find a way. It's not like, I don't think it's something you can just do like snap, do this, and you will have a job in this industry. It's I think it's more like a progress.
Yeah, it's the same history for me as well. I never had the intention to work in the theme park industry because it was never occurring to me. But then suddenly I've Movie Park Germany in Bottrop, back then the Warner Brothers Movie World in Germany, opened 1996. I was a season pass holder there, and I was so amazed and so sucked into this whole world that I never got out. I fell down the rabbit hole.
It's
And
funny
here
that
we
you
are.
Say that, because that's also one of the parks which for me really made the difference, because
really,
I really liked it when like Walibi got like Six Flags Holland. That was a time which I can really remember, like, oh, that's so cool. I used to have a couple of years a season pass there, but I knew that the first time I went to Movie Park, and that's why I went. And on this time, we always go a couple of times a year to Movie Park, like with Halloween and stuff. But every time I get there in the last couple of years, it's like, it's cool. They're doing great stuff. I love their Halloween. I love their, but I still have like this feeling from old times when I was there with like the pre-shows, and like I remember that roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, like the cop car chase where you went
Yeah.
to? I don't quite remember what they did, but they did something in the line where there was something with a car which exploded or something like that. I don't know, but I still remember, like, that was the first time I really got into, like, it's so cool that they're doing something with the story and not just a ride. So every time I come there now, it's like I miss those times where every ride had, like, and I know it doesn't have to be like Villa Volta and Efteling, where you have to wait 15 minutes to finally get on the ride. It's I think it's really cool to that they did that then already, and it's so sad to see that it's a little bit less.
Yeah, it's I feel the same, and I was working as a student in Warner Brothers Movie World in the very last year. I started working there on the weekends, and then 1 year later it got the transformation into Movie Park Germany, which was for me like somebody ripped out the heart of this park and tried to do, well, something with it. And it's nice that they are getting back on track nowadays, and they're doing, as you mentioned, they're doing good stuff, but it's not that the product that has opened in 1996, it's something completely
different,
different, which is also okay. But it's, yeah, I can feel, I can see where your passion comes from. It's like the connection between what you've seen on screen, it's getting real, and you're in the movies now, and something explodes, or I don't know, people shout at you, oh no, the gremlins are here, you have to escape.
They did
good
something
old
new there,
times.
And I can see that they're doing that now as well, because I don't want to hate that movie park. I really love the park for Halloween, and some of their new rides I think are really cool. But it's the overall experience. And maybe if we go at this point, snap back in time to there, maybe it's not that impressive that it is in my head. But I remember it was the first time I got really sucked into the rides and to the, so I really loved it.
Yeah, and maybe they were her they were ahead of their times, because it's 1996 when you look at the industry back then in Europe, there were no big players. Fantasialand was still Fantasialand was a great park. Europa Park was also doing fine, but there were no big storytellers at this point. And Efteling was also doing well, but they're not did something incredible back then. And if you look now, everything is like exploding, especially when you look to Fantasialand or Europa Park or Efteling. This is just crazy what's happening right now. Or even Poland, where I believe every 2 years a new theme park is opening right now.
I saw it.
And yeah, I really fell back into my own past right now. So let's go into your past slash current state. So you are working for this or you're about to open this new attraction on some point. And what is this whole change now doing with you? So you already said that you have the big challenge to be creative for two parks now. Does this mean that your performances will be less in the future, or is this something that you say it's part of you, you can't really shake it off?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's also the thing. We had a lot of meetings for the last couple of weeks because it's something. Things are changing in our business at the Waarbeek and Drouwenzand because we need more time. My function is changing because we do a lot of more things. I need a lot of more time for doing like other stuff. So that's really cool. I really like it. But I also told them. It's not something I really want to do like my magic show at the Waarbeek. So I think it will be less because now we did like every day. So I think it's going to be like only the vacations and the weekends and stuff like that. So we have to downsize that a little bit, but I'm also working on how can we the thing is it's I know they also need me at the other park some days, but I don't want the experience to be lower at the Waarbeek the days that I'm not here.
Yeah.
So now we're looking for something that we can do those days that I'm not here, or just make the overall experience a little bit. They also talk like maybe letting someone else play Postbode Pelle, but that's something I'm not really ready for yet. I know that one day maybe we have to, I know. But it's still one thing I really enjoy doing here, aside from the other stuff, which is really great too, of course, our events and our new things and our shops and it's also really cool to be a part of that, but I don't want to miss like just doing the shows and seeing how happy it made kids. And that's also one thing that I really want to keep at the park and maybe expand to Drouwenzand as well because they don't have any entertainment there. I think it really adds. I know the previous owner of Drouwenzand, he said we have a nice formula, we have nice rides. That's enough. I don't want to do entertainment because it's only a cost. It only costs money. It doesn't bring new people. And I don't think that's totally true. I think I know if we do a show or we don't do a show, maybe for this year we won't have any less visitors. I know. But I think it really adds to the overall experience and the overall feeling they get with the park when there's a show. I know not everybody's going to go to the show, but when they go to a show, I think their day is going to be a little bit better than if they didn't, for the people who like it. And that's also something we do in our show. Did you show my show or did you not?
I've never had the opportunity. I've seen some snips and pieces on YouTube of your performances.
Yeah, the thing we do is like the decor of the show is not like huge. It's not really something. It's cozy. It's fun when you sit there look at it. But it's not the thing we do with the show is we blow the people away. So in the show we have like six smoke machines. We have special effects. We have confetti. We have like fire machines. We have our songs, of course, the music. We have a good story. We are making sure it's not only fun for the kids, but it's really fun for the adults as well. So that's something I really like, that at the end of the show, they're coming to me and saying, "Oh, it was so fun. I had more fun than the kids." So that's something I really like to do, that it's also taking the adults into the show, so that it's a good story and that people go there. And there was one saying we used that, I think it was Juliana Tore, I used it a lot. It was like, success is expectations plus one. So we need to, those expectations, we have to plus it at one. So
Yeah.
while in our all-inclusive formula, we make sure it's quality. So it's not all-inclusive, so you get bad French fries and bad frikandelle croquette. It's also quality. Our sauces are the quality. If you are coffee, tea, lemonade is also good quality. Of course, if you like cola better, you can buy it. But and that's also with the shows, we want something that's adding to their day and that's making it a plus one. So when they go away, they're thinking like, "Oh my God, I only paid this much. How can they make a profit? How can they make?" And if they think that, I think we're doing something good. And of course, we make a profit.
I totally agree with you with the entertainment part. As being in events and entertainments for so many years, it's always a pain in the arse to describe what you are doing and to defend yourself. Why is it so important? And when you don't have it anymore in attraction, especially in smaller attractions, you will realize that it doesn't feel the same. And we had that in one attraction we opened here in the Ruhrgebiet in Oberhausen, where we didn't have many rides or animals or whatsoever. So we decided to have a not huge, but like a proper entertainment throughout the day with street acts, with smaller shows. And we just implemented some smaller water jets and effects with a press of the button. You could simulate like a blow of a whale, and people were amazed, and they really felt, okay, this place is alive.
Yeah, you just need something like that to make it more special. And I don't get it why people working in parks don't get that point. Like the entertainment, I know it does cost money, and it's something you have to do and put time and effort in, but it's also something that brings opportunity. Just like you said, you can upgrade a park, you can sell more merchandise, because when we do our show here, those days we have a lot of more selling of like the plush from Fecky and Pelle, and I have like magic tricks in our shop and stuff like that. There is a lot of more selling of that stuff, and it's also keeping people longer in the park. For us, it's not that big of a point, because the sooner they leave here, the more money we make, because they don't use our all-inclusive formula. But that's not what we do here. We're not thinking from like, how can we keep them longer, but we're also not looking for something to let them leave sooner. But I can see why other parks really try to get people longer in the park, for it just expands their spending and things like that. So
Yeah, that's like the perfect middle to do to have the people not too long in the park, that they don't waste their times and getting bored and just eating French fries because there's nothing much to do right now, just eating and have them as much entertained as they can get, because if you over entertain them, they're not getting bored, they're getting annoyed, and that's not good as well.
No, that's right. That's right. And what you were saying about French fries, we have people here who are eating French fries all day. That's just part of having fun at the Waalwijk. So it happens, people who stand in line at 10 o'clock for French fries and frikandelle.
That could be me.
All day.
Maybe not all day, but most of the time.
That's true. Between all roads. Yeah.
If you, dear listeners, haven't been to the Varbeck, I can hardly suggest go to this incredible small and exotic attraction. You need to see this if you're interested in this industry. It is not also a heritage with its oldest steel roller coaster in the world, but also the whole look and feel and how the park is situated. It's such a lovely place. And as you have heard from Michael himself, they are doing so much to make it more comfortable, more experiential, and more, more satisfying for the guests. So just go there. And of course, if you need further information about the Wireback, there is a website. Link will be in the show notes. And Michael, for our history, we have like never wanted to go into this industry or never had the attention to go into this industry. There's one quote I like to place from a good and famous author, Douglas Adams, the one who wrote. I was about to say Guardians of the Galaxy. That's bullshit. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I have ended up where I needed to be.
That's a great quote.
Isn't it? It couldn't be more fitting. And you mentioned before you're 39.
Yeah, I am.
Is it your big 40 this year?
Yeah, in December.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've got it in August. So
Really,
yeah.
yeah. It's something
Yes.
I'm really not looking forward to, but it's gonna happen. Yeah, it's
It has to happen. That's part of the game.
gonna have fun.
Michael, thank you so much for your time. It was a
Absolutely.
very great pleasure to talk to you and listen to your stories. And I wish you all the best, field success, and good luck with all your upcoming projects.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
See, I told you, he's a charming person, and I can't really wait for what the park has next in store for us, because they are doing so many great things. And as he mentioned for himself, they're opening their very first really new ride. So it's not a used ride like the small dark ride they have. It's a completely new ride, which will be completely themed, and I think it will fit very well into the park. And if you are now curious and you want to know more about the Wireback, you find the link to the website in the show notes. And of course, if you want to know more about myself and my services, any information about that is also can be found in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening. Take care and goodbye.